At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, December 29th, 2022. It's the Beating the Book podcast, Megapod, week 17 in the National Football League. Week 17 of 18. The penultimate, there it is, use the word penultimate, week of the NFL season. Skill Alexander, live from the South Point, of course, the staples of the show with me. First of all, Jeff Parles in studio, always with me in studio. Jeff Parlay, VEASAN host, you good, man?
It took me a minute to get my usual chair because of what you're about to bring up in a second.
Well, Todd Wishnev, not in his mom's cork attic in Pittsburgh, PA. He has driven to Las Vegas in a motor vehicle and is here in studio, and as always, he's not dressed up for the show. But how you doing, man? You good?
I'm playing tennis after the show.
So am I. I'm wearing a button down. We've been through this. You couldn't have had a change of clothing?
I'm in a mindset, baby. I'm in a mindset.
Okay. Todd Wishnev, everybody, here as well. And we'll update the records because I believe I have an insurmountable one-game lead that we're about to talk about. And our rotating guest for the week is a Megapod veteran. And I think if I were to go back into the annals, Todd, of Megapod history, and if I were to count up the number of appearances on the Megapod, I'm going to say that I think this guy is the leader. Joe Fortenbaugh from Daily Wager, everybody. How you doing, Joseph?
Gil, gentlemen, it is a pleasure to be with you. I used to hold that distinction, I know, but I haven't been able to appear on the show for like 2 years because my schedule got turned upside down and you guys had like literally, Gil, you have zero flexibility with whether or not you'll move.
That's
like
true.
4 minutes. No, can't be done. Same time every day, week, which I respect. I admire that, but it's great to be back. I'm glad we were able to figure out a way to make this work. Thank you so much for having me.
You're the best. Still kind enough to slum down here with us, and I appreciate that. So now you do Daily Wager. What other things? Because I actually want to know the answer to this. It says here, host of Joe and Amber on ESPN Radio. What is that and what else? Because I saw you, like, wasn't Molly Karam hugging you the other day? You're all over the place. What are you doing?
Yeah, so I'm getting back in the radio, which is awesome because I was doing it for 6 years in the Bay Area while doing Daily Wager and ESPN part-time. And then 2.5 years ago, moved down here, joined ESPN full-time. Now we're launching a new radio show. It's the 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern spot, Monday through Friday.
Oh.
It's myself and Amber Wilson. We're very excited about it. We kick off January 3rd, so back in a regular radio spot, first national gig. So very excited about that. And then, you know, there's rotating stuff. I was in Bristol and New York last week for a lot of the photos and getting the radio stuff ready. So I was lucky enough to be asked to come on First Take and some of the other shows, Get Up, This Just In. So you kind of go to New York and you do the whole run through and you talk gambling with everyone. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Thank you for watching. I appreciate that.
Dude, radio and podcasting, so much more fun than television. Be honest, right? True?
So I'm excited to get back into this because, yeah, I have a love for it. I have a love of being able to open up the conversation, being able to BS with people. With TV, you've got your 20 to 40 second soundbite. You want to have good posture. You want to look handsome. You want to be able to
like
be
me.
Witty.
You're talking about me, Joe, right?
Exactly, yeah. Boys. Exactly. Like you want to be charming and informative, and you want to be right. And it's like that's a lot to cram in, and you never really get a chance to expound too much on the conversation. when you're moving through so many topics. So to be able to get back on the radio is going to be awesome to do stuff like that.
Good for you, man. We look forward to listening to that. When does it start? Has it started?
No, Tuesday, January 3rd. We're going through a lot of the prep now.
Beautiful.
We're not going to launch Monday. Everyone, obviously, in this country, you know, we need our January 1st off. Then we need January 2nd off. Then we'll get back to work January 3rd.
Beautiful. Congratulations. I look forward to it. Joe and Amber on ESPN Radio. All right. Before we get to the compilation of records, real quick, because we do these. This is sort of an add-on this year, Joe. Dumbbell of the week in the National Football League. This past week goes to Jeffrey.
Do we just do an honorary one for Hackett since he's no longer coaching in the league?
Just a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah, just the 15-game lifetime achievement
we
award.
We should just do a quick countdown of the play clock. Five.
That is
four.
Yes.
Three.
Yeah.
Two.
Oh, timeout. Yeah. The Broncos just used another timeout, folks, because, hey, they couldn't get the play in. They didn't know the play clock was 40
that
seconds.
Is, if they had done a one shining moment video montage, right? Of Nathaniel Hackett's 15-game tenure of the Denver Broncos, that moment, what you're talking about, to me, is the Mount Rushmore moment, which is the home crowd in Denver chanting down the play clock when the offense was on the field. I've never seen that before anywhere.
Well, and they're just going to – the play call is going to be there at the plus 5-yard line. They're going to give it to Melvin Gordon. Fumble!
Yeah, well
– also, too, we should have known this was doomed from the outset with that fiasco in Seattle where they had no idea what the hell to do on the fourth down and six.
That's right.
Then they send McManus out for the extraordinarily long field goal that, of course, is missed. That video was circulating, that Manning cast was circulating, where Peyton's head was exploding on ESPN2 as, like, probably want to take a timeout. Probably want to take a timeout. And then, of course, we know what happened. But I'm going to miss Hackett. I'm going to miss being able to fade that wagon. I'm going to miss the fact that there was a guy in the NFL who I feel a lot smarter about my football acumen because
well,
of him at coaching.
The play clock was
no, I know. It was incredible. It was incredible.
Well, so objectively now, whatever you think about Nathaniel Hackett, it ends up being tied for the fourth shortest tenure of a head coach in the history of the NFL. The only one short, by the way, Urban Meyer went 13 games. That was shorter. Actually, seventh shortest because three guys were tied at fourth. So Urban Meyer went Hackett went 15. Urban Meyer last year, famously 13. He went 2-11. Bobby Petrino in 2007 with the Falcons went 3-10 in 13 games. Lou Holtz, the 76 Jets, went 3-10. 1976, but the three shortest, Pete McCulley, 78 Niners, who could forget it, 1-8. In nine games. George Allen, two preseason games with the Rams in 1978 before the owner, Carol Rosenblum, said, yeah, I don't like this so much. Get out of here. And then Bill Belichick, famously, one day.
Well, we're Urban Meyer, though, 1-0 in lap dances during that same
stint.
That's
right.
That's
yeah. Which remains one of the more awesome stories ever. It's like, wow, this dude. Okay. So Nathaniel Hackett, let's
go. Yeah, just an honorary one for him.
In game, anything, Todd, before we get to the records?
On the in-game, you know, I had a couple that we could talk about. I just think we really have to talk about when these NFL teams get way, way, way behind. Like, now, it didn't work with the Broncos this week because they just got behind and quit. But when these teams, when the line gets up into the plus 20s number, you almost just have to make a bet, especially if it's a team that can score. For instance, in the Vikings-Colts game a couple weeks ago when they were down 33-0, on the way up to 33, I took Vikings plus 16. I thought I was dead at 33-0. I was like, oh, man, this didn't work out, right?
Yeah.
Well, next thing you know, I'm right back in it because in the third quarter, late third quarter, fourth quarter, those teams that are leading will not try to score points. The other team will. And if it's a team that can do backdoor things, like the old Cutler for the Bears was an amazing backdoor, or Snake Plumber for the Arizona Cardinals was another great guy down three touchdowns. Kurt Warner at one point when he was on bad teams was a great guy. So if you have teams, now the Vikings would be the ultimate team who's a backdoor cover machine because they've got an offense.
In both directions, actually.
Yeah. So, yeah, of course. Exactly. Yeah. So when you get up into these ridiculously high numbers, like plus 18s, plus 21s, plus 24s, and by the way, folks, if you're in places where you can do the adjusted lines and you're seeing a line like 23.5 when they're down 24, just take the 24 and lay the minus 160 or whatever you have to do to pay it because they're not going to lose by more than 24.
Oh, Nevada doesn't have those lines. lines.
Oh boy, I'm here for 3 days and I'm already crying about there's nothing to bet. Although there is one nice thing. They do have this spread at the end of the third quarter at William Hill.
Yeah.
And I did a real nice college bet the other day. Even Gilly gave me some props for my college bet.
Even Gilly.
Yes, because the Duke game was they were getting the ball in the third quarter.
Okay, records. Go through them, please, real quick.
Okay, the records. Gilly Ice, who has led the entire season at one point, insurmountable lead.
Still insurmountable.
He's 28-20 after his 1-2. Now, granted, he could have taken the bad beat of all bad beats. Had the Patriots not missed the extra point and had punched in, he was so surly during texts.
Yes.
I started even rooting for him instead of rooting against him.
Don't worry, because that happened with Arkansas yesterday, so I got my horrible beat after all.
Okay, Jeffrey Parles, who was tied 2 weeks ago, is down to 25-22-1. He's a little bit back. And then me with an 0-2-1, I'm still only one game back. I'm 26-20-2. So in the loss column, I have the same amount of losses as Gilly, but because of my two ties, I'm one game back.
Insurmountable.
In the teaser world, 7-9 for Gilly, 7-9 for Jeff. I am now 6-9-1, respectable after my start. And the guest chair is 22-25-1 regular, 12-4 on teasers. The guest has been not great on picks, but outstanding on teasers.
Oh, all right. No pressure, Joe. All right. Cool. All right. So let's start with the... let's start with Thursday night thoughts. Now, again, this is, I'll use the word squirrely. And before we get to Joe's thoughts on this, here's the deal with tonight. So already we knew that the Titans have nothing to play for tonight against the Cowboys. Only their game against the Jaguars matters next week for the de facto AFC South Championship. And so we already knew that Cowboys were a big favorite. But then the word sort of started trickling in about all these Titans absences. And here's what we know now as we do this on Thursday morning. Jeffrey Simmons, their Pro Bowl defensive tackle, out, as is on defense. Imani Hooker, Bud Dupree, Zach Cunningham, DeNico Autry's doubtful. That could mean an out for him as well. And then on offense, Derrick Henry is being listed as doubtful, but let me just say this. He ain't playing. Like, there's no way that doubtful means anything else. Their right tackle, Nicholas Petit-Frere, is out as well. And so... So this line has gone all the way up to Dallas -12.5 on the full game. I wouldn't be surprised if it continues to soar. The question becomes, does Malik Willis even play? Because there's one school of thought that says, well, you got to find out what you have in him, and he's got this big game next week. You got to put him in there. On the other hand, you have no offensive line, and Derrick Henry's not behind you. Do you want to subject him to this? So, Joe, all of that to say, do you have anything on tonight's game?
So I think it's going to be Dobbs that you're going to see tonight. Just a hunch.
Me too.
Just a hunch that it's going to be Dobbs playing quarterback tonight. The thing is, I there are so many reasons why you'd want to unload on Dallas, but wouldn't it be the classic Dallas flat spot after what they just did to the Eagles? Like, they show up for this game. They're high on their own supply after taking out Philly. It's a Mike McCarthy-led team, so it's probably a sloppy week of practice. They see that Tennessee's mailing it in. They show up short week, and before you know it, they find themselves jammed up, or they get complacent late and the back door's wide open. So there's two things I'm looking at, small wagers. I might play Dallas in the first half -7. First half team totals sitting around 20 or so. Not team total, first half total in general, 20 points. I'd be looking at the over there as well, but I would not get heavily involved just because I don't trust Dallas to come in and do what they're supposed to do, given what just happened against Philadelphia.
I agree with almost every word of that. I took Dallas -7 first half. Steve Fezzik, our buddy, says, hey, if you can find the -6.5 at places like DraftKings, grab that, because he thinks it'll be 7.5 first half by post time, and so you'll get the 7 middle. I did play Dallas first half. I think it will be Joshua Dobbs. The only other bet I made was the Titans under 14, which I don't feel as good about, because who knows if Dobbs is a better proposition than Willis is. Anything on this game for you guys tonight at all before we get to
the
best bets?
I just have to say that in the National Football League, when it looks too easy, you're about to take an object in a place you don't want to take an object in. Because here's what happens. Nothing is easy, folks.
Nothing.
Okay? So if it seems like, wow, the Dallas Cowboys defense, which hasn't been as great lately, but still is a pretty good defense, going against a backup to a backup, you're like, oh, wow, free money. No, folks, there's no such thing as free money. Be very, very careful.
I'll say one thing. What happens tonight if Josh Dobbs looks good for week 18?
You mean handing the ball off and doing a Vrabel special?
Here's the thing, though. It's not going to take a lot for Dobbs to be a better thrower than Willis has been so far.
That's a good point.
But what happens if Dobbs does play and look significantly better than anything we've seen from Malik Willis, with basically it being a glorified preseason game? That's one thing I would be a little bit.
It doesn't matter. Bit, no, they're both going to stink.
No, well, here's the thing, though. Dobbs, I think, has the ability to complete multiple forward passes.
Are we talking about the Tennessee quarterback used to be the Steelers
correct.
Backup?
The guy who has no hair, yes.
Folks.
He's not good. I'm agreeing with you.
It's Malik
there,
Willis and Dobbs. Me and you could play quarterback. Now, me at a svelte 230, I'd probably be pretty good because I could also do the run pass option. Okay. But let's be honest, guys. It's not going. Look, it's Tennessee or nobody because Vrabel will pull out some. Don't bet the Cowboys tonight, folks.
Here's the thing. If this game was in the middle of an early Sunday slate, would you bet it? And if the answer is no, then try not to.
You're
going to
in-game it. You're going to watch Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. By the way, does Kirk Herbstreit have to call every guy by his number? Oh, number 8 really put it on him. Oh, really? 88, right in the corner. God, you could say his last name, Herbie.
I think Herbstreit is very uncomfortable with Al Michaels.
Like, by the way, I love Herbstreit. Just so you know, I love him.
If he's with Fowler, he's super comfortable.
Oh, I love
him.
I love him.
But I think he's uncomfortable with Al Michaels. And Al Michaels has been kind of low energy this year.
Yeah, well.
And what a way for Amazon to go out with this game.
Is anything more infuriating than getting ready for Thursday Night Football and then going, oh, wait, it's not on TV?
Yeah.
Wait, what's my Amazon password? Oh, my God, I don't know my password. I got to go. It's crazy.
I still don't know how to rewind. I still don't know how to rewind.
It's ridiculous. And here's the worst part. It's only going to get worse with the streaming.
Last Thursday game of the year tonight, Cowboys and Titans. All right, which brings us to best bets. Joe, you have honors, sir.
All right. So there's a few I like this week. Obviously, we'll have some other games we get into at some point. But I think the best bet for me overall is going to be the under in this Patriots-Dolphins game. I'm expecting next to nothing from Miami. All right. You got Tua's out for this game. Teddy Bridgewater is going to be stepping in. We know how Bridgewater plays. He's ultra conservative. That's a nightmare. Going on the road in the cold weather against Belichick's defense, which is top 5 in scoring D and opponent yards per play. I don't think Miami's going to get a whole lot going here. I know we've seen them look decent at times during this 4-game losing streak, most notably in that game against Buffalo, but they're falling apart late in the season, and this is just another cold outdoor game for them. Patriots still have an outside shot at the playoffs. You know they want to run the ball. They're 18th in pace. They can't get a whole lot going offensively with Patricia calling the plays. I mean, 15 games this year. New England scored 30 points one time. One time in 15 games. So I know it's through the key number of 42 down to 41.5. I don't think a whole lot's going to happen there. I'm going under Patriots Dolphins.
Under Patriots Dolphins.
Are we giving him 41.5 or 41? What do you guys think?
I think there's enough 41.5.
Okay, we'll give you the half. Joe's a nice guy.
This is what happens, Joe. We all rule.
No, we got to be. Hey, it's got to be above board. I completely agree.
Yeah, 41.5.
I think there's enough.
And just, I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but do you ever remember an NFL season, this late NFL season, where so many teams are rolling with the backup quarterback? So the Dolphins, because of Tua's concussion protocol, Teddy Bridgewater, right? The Jets now back to Mike White. The Ravens, the whole Tyler Huntley thing, and we'll see if Lamar is back. The Colts just started Foles, right? The Titans, as we just talked about with the whole Malik Willis, Josh Dobbs thing now. Derek Carr sitting now and taking his toys and going home. Jarrett Stidham going to be there. And just one after another, right? The Heineke-Wentz thing in
McCoy
Washington.
McCoy in Arizona.
Hurts is hurt with the Eagles. We'll see if he plays. It's just everywhere you look, there's obviously Desmond Ridder in Atlanta. Carolina's been a rotate. Now it's Darnold finally, so it's the same guy. And as you said, the Arizona Cardinals being the other, and now you also have Baker Mayfield with the Rams and Brock Purdy, of course, maybe the most famous of these examples with the Niners. I almost named half the league. I'd never remember it like this.
No, it's always like this every year. You just forget.
That's incorrect. It is not. I just named
half the league.
We're going to have to go back into
not,
the.
Do
the,
not tell me that this
wait,
is normal.
According to Stats Inc., ESPN's data, Gilly, you are incorrect. There have been lots of backup quarterbacks in every season at the end of the year. Thank
for what it's worth,
I think you're completely incorrect.
If Dobbs starts tonight, I believe it is the 67th quarterback to get a start this year.
Yeah, that's totally normal. Tom.
Yeah.
So okay, well, let's find out how much it is on a regular season.
Why don't you do the research?
Where do you find that out? Jeffrey?
I'll figure it out. Todd, we'll see if I can get it by the end of the podcast.
I got my guy Jeffrey Pearl's working on it right now.
Okay.
Todd, what's your first best bet?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
My first best bet is going to be interesting here because I'm going down to Pittsburgh. I'm going down to Baltimore. I'm driving down from Pittsburgh to Baltimore and that. Look, we're going to stock up the car with a big meal. So if we get hungry, we have something to eat.
Mo.
And we're going to go down there and we're going to show us everybody. Remember the first Baltimore? Oh, by the way, what's the over-under line in that game, please?
Oh, see, now he's going to change his bet if he doesn't like the number.
No.
It is doop bop boo da boop bop ba doop bop boop.
35, Gil?
35.
Okay, I'm going to take over the 35 in that in the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, and that's because if you watched the first game, I believe that was the Trubisky throwing an interception inside the 20-yard line about 4,000 times.
Three times in positive territory, yeah.
Now, if you play that game again, expected points in that. Now, you think I don't know what expected points in that because I talk like a yinzer. But expected points in that, there should have been a lot more points in that football game. Guess what? We're going to see him this time. 35 is just too low for a team. It's too low for a team without Pickett. He can move the ball a little. Baltimore's defense ain't anything great. Now, granted, they can't really move the ball either. But that first game, remember that first game? The Steelers were moving the ball. Baltimore hit a couple big runs. That game could have had a lot more points. And I feel like we're going to see them. And by the way, the weather, I just checked the weather with Jeffrey Parles. The weather's going to be quite balmy. It's going to be balmy in Baltimore.
We still don't know if it's Lamar Jackson or Tyler Huntley.
And I'm not concerned about that. 35 is extremely low for an NFL game. Give me over the 35 because the first game, and that was with Trubisky, we were moving the ball. We're going to move the ball with Pickett.
Jeffrey Parlay.
All right. I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals plus the one on Monday night against the Buffalo Bills as pick number one. Gil, I was with you on a numbers game earlier this week. Who did I have at number one in my power rankings?
You had the Cincinnati Bengals.
I had the Cincinnati Bengals. Mm-hmm. Now, I have been lower on Buffalo all year than everyone. I didn't like how a lot of people handed them the trophy before the season started. I didn't like that Josh Allen was better than Patrick Mahomes, the sum with his best accomplishment being actually the AFC title game the year before, even before that epic performance in the divisional round last year. The one thing, and I think the second half last week may take some people off the Cincinnati scent, because that second half last week in Foxborough was a disaster, and they should have blown a 22-0 lead to Mac Jones. Very fortunate that Ramondre Stevenson fumbled going in. But Cincinnati is a complete football team with as underrated of a defense as it gets. They don't give – up until last week, the previous 5 weeks, they had given up 7 points in the second half combined in those five games. Amarino is an amazing defensive coordinator, and he's so good he actually outweighs the bewildered Zach Taylor. So I think Cincinnati's the more complete team. They have the game at home. By the way, if Cincinnati wins this game and Kansas City loses once, within a Week 18 win over Baltimore, the Cincinnati Bengals would have the AFC playoffs through whatever the hell they call that stadium now in Cincinnati. I believe it's Paycor, but regardless, I think the Bengals are better. Yep. And I'm getting a point at home. I'll take Cincinnati plus the one against Buffalo.
Well, you're not going to like this because
you're taking Cincinnati too.
On guessing lines, this is one of my three favorites. They're my number three. I like Cincinnati. Again, I think.
Should I mark you down?
For number three.
Cincinnati plus one.
Plus one. I thought the wrong team was favored, just what Jeff was saying. And yes, Jeff is right also. A lot of people may not be aware Cincinnati could still get the number one seed, but that would require Kansas City
has to lose to one bad team.
One bad team, yeah. Cincinnati first half against the Patriots last week, they had more first downs than the Patriots had plays, 22-17. The Patriots managed just 3 first downs, 70 total yards, and amassed 44 penalty yards. Now, I get it. The Patriots ain't the Bills. But the Bills also, just on the other side, of, you know, we've done our power rankings all year long, and they've been consistently in the top 3. I finally put them to 4 just because they've had enough kind of weak-ish performances or weaker performances than an NFL elite team would sort of you'd expect to have from them. And so I don't know. The Bills just don't inspire confidence. I had the Dolphins getting the points in that game in Buffalo a couple weeks ago, and Dolphins, quite frankly, should have won that football game. The Bills snaked it out. But it's a home game at Cincinnati Monday night. It is going to be quite the atmosphere. I got the Bengals. We're snaking, right? So let me do my number one while we're here. We'll go back the other direction.
So wait, we're going to, then you're just going to give that one, and then Jeff's going to go.
Yeah, so you'll hold your second pick for the third slot.
Correct. Okay, so the Bengals are my number 3. My number 1 is the Carolina Panthers.
Wait, what are we giving him, Jeff? 3?
3.
3, yeah, 3. Okay. Absolutely.
What are you giving me?
Well, we've got to know the number.
I mean, there's nothing but 3 in the market.
Okay.
It's painted 3, Todd.
Okay.
Todd's like, there's always been this many backup quarterbacks. Okay.
There has.
Carolina was plus 5.5, apparently, before we did guessing lines. Still at 3. Again, I'm just going to be consistent on this. I have completely felt differently about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers than the NFL betting market has for the entire season. And it has been a really stubborn market on the Buccaneers. And it has to be because of this muscle memory on Tom Brady, where people just say, well, it's Tom Brady, and we saw what he did late against the Rams, and we saw what he did late against the Saints, so he's always capable of doing that, and it's Tom Brady. Carolina Panthers are just a better football team than the Buccaneers in every possible way. Okay, maybe not at quarterback. Maybe I will trust Tom Brady.
By the way, he's not that great.
Who's that?
Tom Brady makes a lot of bad throws.
That's kind of my point, right? So the point is that this has been a great strategy for me all year long. This is a really weird thing that's been going on with the Bucs all year long. They just need to win to get in. I get it. Panthers control their own destiny, too. You're giving me 3 points. I will take the 3 points. And by the way, do the truth serum thing. If you gave truth serum to any of these teams in the NFL and you're like, who's the better football team? Who would you rather? Well, I'll do a caveat. What's the team you'd rather not play? They'd say it's the Panthers or the Bucks. They will throw in the caveat, though, at the end, right? They'll be like, yeah, but it is Tom Brady. So, like, even Cowboys fans, friends that I have are like, I don't know if we want to play Tom Brady.
As long as they're not up 16-3 in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes left, you're fine.
But it's such an interesting thing. That football team stinks. And because Brady exists and because we saw those two comebacks, people still respect them in some way, and the market reflects that. I don't. Plus 3 is my play.
You know, it's fascinating with Tampa. And, Gil, I did warn – I don't remember if I warned you, but I warned someone before the season when Arians got whatever that was, retired. We can read the writing on a wall. We know what happened there. Bowles was a dreadful head coach with the Jets, despite what the national media wanted to tell you, that it was the Jets' fault that Bowles failed. No. The Jets missed the playoffs in 2015 because of Todd Bowles and Ryan Fitzpatrick, forgetting what color the Jets were wearing week 17 in Buffalo.
Jets insider, Jeffrey Parks.
But it's not, to me, it's not overly surprising that Tampa has fallen off because they have a bottom three head coach. When Arians, even though Arians did a lot of weird stuff that last year he was there, Arians was still a top 10 coach in this league. You don't go from having a top 10 coach in a league to a bottom 5 coach in a league and have
three
success.
Three was a little, you went a little.
Yeah, bottom 5 is fine. Okay. But I mean, look at New Orleans, same division. Sean Payton, top 10 coach. Dennis Allen, bottom 5 coach. I mean, Sean Payton basically had the same roster almost in the playoffs last year.
It's a point worth making.
All right, so number 2 for me.
Jeffrey Parles with number 2.
Okay.
Jets insider, Jeff.
Jets insider. Gil, what are you going to give me on Philadelphia here?
Philadelphia.
Where are they? Who are they?
They're playing New Orleans because it's a little bit of a mix in the market.
I see 5.5. So what do you see?
Philadelphia's magic number is 1.5. Yeah.
All right. Lay it with Philadelphia. I think we saw enough last week from Minshew against a defense that is better than what New Orleans is. And I know Dallas has had all sorts of injuries. Gardner Minshew, and we talked about this last week, now it didn't work out We pushed the six because of that.
We deserved much better.
The idiotic fumble by Sanders, Quez Watkins getting out toughed on that interception. Really, we had the right side, even though we didn't get there with Philadelphia last week, getting six. Gardner Minshew is still pretty good at this quarterbacking thing. And for short spurts of time, he can look like a legitimate starter in this league. He looked like a legitimate starter last week. New Orleans, I mean, Cleveland's game plan last week was as disastrous as you possibly can line up in that horrible win. And New Orleans remembered they had Taysom Hill, which was good for them. Won the game. They're still alive in the NFC South. But I feel like this is a Philly smash spot coming. I think Philadelphia's going to be able to move the ball pretty easily. I think Philly's defense, coming off a horrible performance like they did last week against Dallas, bounces back against a mediocre offense that still doesn't really know that Alvin Kamara is still on the football team up until last week. So I'll lay the 5.5 with Philadelphia's pick number two, Toddy.
Philly wins. They win the NFC East. They will be in the driver's seat still for the number one seed. There is a three-way tie scenario where that will prevent them from clinching it with just a win, the number one seed, that is. New Orleans mathematically alive for the playoffs, but it's really like a 3% possibility. Todd?
I liked Cincinnati too, but I'm not doing the three and all three of us go on one side. Plus, it'll be fun. Wait. This just in Monday night. 1st and 10 from the 25. Burrow back to pass. Looks for Jamar. Strip sack. The Bills have it. The Bills have the ball at the 20. Look out.
Have you been diagnosed?
You know, Von Miller's not playing anymore, right, Todd?
Okay, anyways, my point is it's going to be fun to be rooting for the Bills on Monday night against both Jeffrey and Gil, who will both have the Cincinnati plus one. I, conversely, will be going down to Las Vegas, where I currently am after my three-day drive, and I play a lot of tennis here in the nice weather instead of Pittsburgh. I will be going to Allegiant Stadium, where Jared Stidham, I believe an Auburn quarterback who wasn't even that good at Auburn, if I remember correctly. And I believe I've seen him as a Patriot. In fact, one time I had an under against the Jets, and he screwed it up by throwing a pick six in a 30-0 game, if I remember correctly.
That was the infamous one where I had Jet team total under and Stidham threw the pick six to Adams, and we got totally hosed. Yes.
I remember that like it was yesterday. Yeah. Jared Stidham is not ready for NFL quarterback. Much like Gilly Ice is not ready to play me in tennis, Stidham is not ready to be an NFL quarterback. Now you're throwing him in, folks, against a defense which I would call terrifying. The San Francisco 49ers defense. You could say whatever you want about Brock Purdy, whoever that guy is playing quarterback. That defense is fearsome, folks.
Epic
it's
defense.
A very now, yeah. What I would tell you to do, if you're in a place where they have team totals, you're probably going to see a team total of somewhere in the 16-ish range. Just play the team total under for the Raiders. The Raiders aren't getting 16, folks. The 49ers defense is not allowing it.
Yeah.
Plus, the 49ers are just going to run the ball right up their tuchus the whole game. So just give me the under 40. Is 42 the number? Are you guys going to screw me on this, too? What's the number?
Gil, I think there are enough 42s.
There we go.
It's close, though.
Hold, please. Oh, I don't know about
that. Oh, come on.
It's looking 41.5-ish to me. Are you kidding me? I see 41.5s everywhere.
It's close, but I'll
why didn't Joe Fortenbaugh make the call? Joe, can I have the 42 or the 41.5, Joe?
That is absolutely something I am not qualified to weigh. As I hear you three going after each other with these numbers, the last thing I need to do is get involved from that perspective.
The only 42 I see is fine. Very well done, Joe. The only 42 I see is WinBet. FanDuel 41.5. BetMGM 41.5.
Fine.
And Todd, also, as you were talking, one of the ones on my screen took a bet to take it down to 41.5.
I'm going to take the under 41.5. Right. Yeah. Okay. I think that Brock Purdy's going to run the ball. I think the Raiders, Stidham's not going to score your points. So give me that under 41.5. Now, by the way, the better bet is the team total Raiders under. We don't do team totals here, but that's the way to go.
All right. Joe Fortenbaugh, you have picks number 2 and 3, sir. Snakin.
I will say one note on that Raiders bet. When you sit your starting quarterback and everyone knows it's because you don't want him getting hurt because you're not bringing him back next year, all you're doing is sending the message that you only care about next year. So what do you expect the players to care about? I wouldn't be surprised if they just completely didn't even bother to show up for this game with the way it played out. Pick number two for me, the New York Jets -1.5 over the Seattle Seahawks. This Seattle team, has been an interesting ride this season. And if you've been on top of it, you've been able to do quite well. But if you've been chasing, you've ended up probably getting your face kicked in. Early in the year, a lot of people thought this might be the worst team in the NFL or one of, alongside teams like the Bears in Houston. And then they come out and they surprise everybody. They go 6-3 straight up, 6-3 against the spread. They're scoring. Geno Smith's playing well. Russ is playing awful in Denver, which makes everyone realize, like, hey, maybe Seattle, you know, Russ was the problem. It's not the Seahawks. So then everyone starts to jump on the train, right? You start talking about the playoffs and that this team might be legit. And that's the time you want to fade them. And that's exactly what ended up happening. After that start, they went 1-5 straight up, 0-6 against the spread. The defense isn't very good. They've suffered a lot of injuries. They're very reliant on Geno playing extremely well. When he makes some mistakes, there's no one to really bail him out. And here come the Jets on 10 days of rest, still very much alive for the playoffs. And I don't think Mike White is a great quarterback. I think Zach Wilson is just such a negative influence on everything, from the team's culture to the offense to everything, from mindset in between, that it drags everybody down. And it's happened the last couple of weeks. He's a terrible quarterback. White's going to get him excited. 10 days to get ready. They go to Seattle. The defense is the best of the four units on the field. Jets handle their business against Seattle.
We say that a lot about the Jets. They always have the best unit on the field with that defense. Must-win situation for both the Seahawks and the
that.
Jets.
I love that pick by Joe. Yeah, that was one of my that I was thinking about because, come on, Seattle. First of all, is the Seahawks defense even on the field?
Yeah,
that
bad.
Defense is horrendous. Remember the Raider game where they just handed a ball off and the guy ran for like 8,000 yards in the fourth quarter?
Now, I will say this. I like the pick too, but would it shock you if Seattle had one massive home game in there? Have you ever been to that stadium, by the way? You can't hear the person next to you. Like
it's an awesome experience. Yeah. It is one of the best. I went there at the height of the Seattle-San Francisco rivalry for a Sunday night game. It's incredible being in that stadium.
I went to a Seattle Skins playoff game, and you cannot hear the words coming out of the mouth of the person next to you. Anyway, you can't quantify that, but all I'm saying is there's a reason why it's tightly lined, because I wouldn't be shocked if Seattle won, but the Jets do have the best unit on the field. Jets insider Jeffrey Parlay would like to chime in.
I do think the Jets win. I think it will be an infuriating game for me to be watching while I'm on the air, doing Live Bet Sunday here, but I do think the Jets get it done, at least keep it alive for next week, where, look, if Teddy Bridgewater walks into Foxborough and wins, and the Jets win in Seattle, Jets at Dolphins week 18 is a win and in for both teams, which is kind of amazing when you think about it.
Dolphins win, Jets lose, Dolphins are in.
Yeah, the Dolphins, yes. Yeah. And then if New England wins and the Jets lose, the Jets are done because of that stupid game that was decided on the punt return.
Joe, your third.
So this one's ugly, and I believe I'm not going to get 4.5. I'm going to get 4, but I'll take the Texans over the Jaguars for a lot of the reasons that were mentioned earlier regarding the Tennessee game. This game means absolutely nothing for Jacksonville. And I know Doug Peterson's out there telling everyone there are no, you know, look aheads. They take every game seriously. That's what you have to say when you're the head coach. That's what you're going to say to the team in the locker room. But they're not idiots. They all know that this game means literally nothing. And when you think about that, and you're looking ahead to next week's game against Tennessee, and you really want to go to the playoffs, and you're worried about injuries and things that can happen, people tend to tense up. You're on the road in this spot laying points. That's not somewhere we've seen Jacksonville do all that great since their existence in the National Football League. Houston's been feisty as of late. They've covered 3 straight. They're trying to put up a fight and play well down the stretch. They are a mess of a team, and to the points made earlier, this is going to be one of those games that hurts your stomach, but it is not going to surprise me at all if Jacksonville in this game at some point starts yanking guys, because what the hell's the point? Trevor Lawrence is playing great. The Jags have looked good down the stretch. You might want to keep it rolling here, but you will flush everything you've worked for, everything you've done to put yourself in this position if you screw up with some key injuries before that date with Tennessee next week. So I'll take the points with Houston.
Taking the points with Houston and the Texans, we'll give them 4 because that's where it is painted across. So the Texans, super incentivized from an organizational standpoint, super incentivized to lose because they want to get that number one pick. So it gets dicey on that end.
I don't believe in that in football. I just don't believe that these football guys, there's so few games, they're playing for their lives.
I'm not talking about the players on the field.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just talking about organizationally. We talk about this in Tankapalooza in the NBA. It's never the players on the court. It's, will the organization maximize their situation.
But I feel it's harder in the NFL to do that.
I think you're
than
probably
other
right.
Sports.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Probably so. But Joe taking Houston there, and again, he's right. Jacksonville, nothing to play for. Only the AFC South de facto championship game matters in Week 18. Dad, number three.
I was going to go with the Jets -1.5, but I'm just a little nervous. But I think that's the right side. But instead, I'm going to go with number four. My number three pick is I'm going to go down. First of all, what's the weather going to be like in Green Bay? Can I get a weather check?
I don't know. Why don't you check that on your
own? Well, I was busy this week driving a lot.
Green Bay, kickoff, late kick, right? We're looking at 32 degrees, that's limited wind, cool. So actually pretty good, all things considered, okay, so for the first of the year.
You know what? Give me the over in the Packers. Over, get over 48 in that game?
Yeah, it's really good. 37 degrees, wind 8 miles per hour.
Yeah, over 48, Todd.
Give
me
the over 48, and here's why. The Vikings are an over-machine-type team. Here's why. Their defense, it's non-existent. We all know it's non-existent to give up 33 points to the Colts. I don't have to go on ad nauseum. Even last week, I had over 48 pregame. I had over 41 in-game against the Giants. And you're like, oh, my God, I'm never going to make it, right? Even that game, I made both. Against the Giants, who are not exactly a juggernaut team, the Vikings are an over football team because they can move the ball. We all know that. Plus, you might get a Kirk Cousins pick six. All kinds of things can happen. The Vikings are an over football team. The Packers, they're probably an over football. Now, I know they're slow in pace. I know they don't run to the line and do things fast unless, of course, they, you know, what's it called, needs to get 12 men on the field and he quickly does that, you know, Aaron Rodgers nonsense. But here's the thing. The Vikings are not going to play defense. They are going to play offense. And the Packers, to me, are not exactly a defensive juggernaut either. So, you know, these Viking games just keep flying over. There's just too many points in Vikings games. I want over 48 here because I think, you know, we're going to get some points here. And the Vikings are, look, in the NFL, when you get these teams that are over teams that are good on offense and horrendous on defense, you got to play them over. It's like Seattle a lot of the year was a similar situation. They just can't stop people. Jacksonville, same idea. They can't stop people and they score the football. Give me the Vikings, Green Bay over. It's going to be balmy. You know, 32 degrees, not that cold. Give me over 48.
Parlay.
By the way, Josh Dobbs is starting tonight.
There it is.
That just came across. So
we
there
nailed
you go.
It, Joseph.
They don't want to use me in the RPO because I'm still available.
All right. Finding a third pick this week was really difficult. And I'm going to a game that no one should watch. Because both the teams are eliminated.
No.
Both teams are terrible.
Oh, no.
I'm taking a three with Arizona and in Atlanta. Colt McCoy.
Wait. Is it three or 3.5?
If you want to give me 3.5, I'll very happily.
I mean, he needs everything again.
I'll very happily take three.
I believe Marty McSorley is playing quarterback, I believe.
You'll find out in a second because it's not going to be McSorley.
What do you say,
Gil?
3.5.
Yeah, you see that? See, I
thank
you.
Give me the 3.5. If I get 3.5, it might have been pick number 1. I didn't realize I was getting a hook. Colt McCoy looks like he's going to start. He's cleared concussion protocol. So I don't have to deal with Marty McSorley, even though I will say, even though he was not good at all,
he had moments.
He was better than I thought he was going to be
on
Sunday night.
Remind me.
He had a big deep pass that something once.
He set something up.
Let's put it this way. He didn't throw multiple pick sixes, which I honestly thought was in play against Tampa Bay. But I think
his father look more scary like a serial killer than I've ever seen? Oh, my. I was nervous when they were looking. Let's go to McSorley's dad. Oh, my God. He looks like he's going to eat blood. That guy was crazy looking.
He did have a great jawline.
This game's awful. I have 9 screens in the studio before getting on Live Bet Sunday. This will not be on a screen, even though I have a bet on this game, because this game is so horrific with both teams eliminated already. But Desmond Ridder has looked so bad so far.
Did I not say Desmond Ridder was
going to
stink?
Look, Todd, you and I agreed. I thought that Ridder going before, and granted, Willis has looked terrible too, but Ridder going before Willis was a little bit nuts, and Atlanta's finding out they don't have anything in Desmond Ridder. So I'll take 3.5 with Colt McCoy, who, look, is at least a reasonable NFL backup quarterback, and hope he can play the whole game without getting injured.
How many human beings who are not part of these two organizations or fans of these two teams will watch?
Everyone will be watching because there's money on it.
Todd will be watching.
We'll watch, if I could just finish,
yeah,
every play of this football game.
I will.
Good
no,
luck.
No, you won't.
I watch every game of every game. Yes.
You'll watch every play of this game.
Well,
if you...
no, I'll be watching like I try to watch all the games.
And, so in other words, not you. I'm talking about watching every play of this football game. How many total human beings not involved with those organizations?
You mean like if you're just like a regular fan of a team and you're not a gambler? There's not going to be a big
I asked the same question of the Middle Tennessee State game, the bowl game the other night when it was, what was it, Christmas Eve, while the NFL was going on. How many people not involved with those two universities? I can't remember who they were playing.
It was San Diego State.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, San Diego
I missed
State.
That one.
Do you think watched that football game every single play?
I forgot it was
less
on,
than 200.
I don't know. All I know is I saw the box score and Middle Tennessee ran for like negative 60 yards and ran to, and won the game because of sack yardage.
Sack yardage in college is minus rushing yards. All right. My final pick is the... You ready for this, Drek? I'm taking the Vikings. I'm taking the Vikings plus the 3.5. And
wait, are we giving them 3?
Yes, definitely. Okay. Definitely.
What do you mean are you giving it to me?
Definitely.
Vikings are 12-3. They have a plus 5-point differential. They're 11-0 in first in one score games. They are a historical anomaly. There's no question about it. Right? Like Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders on, he goes, I don't want to call him a fraud. They're historically interesting.
Wait, said. Analytical question. Who's the quarterback for Minnesota?
Kirkus Cousins.
Oh, okay, sorry.
So I get it. They're fraudulent. And in the Fraud Bowl last week, they correctly beat the bigger fraud in the New York Giants, who are the biggest fraud in all of football.
Didn't cover, though.
They did not. Because it doesn't matter how far ahead the Vikings get, as you pointed out so astutely, the other team will magnetize towards the tie game, which is exactly what the Giants did late with the touchdown and two-point conversion on a fourth down where Barkley just housed the ball. But here's the thing with the Vikings. Why are they catching 3.5 against a football team in the Green Bay Packers who have beaten nobody?
It's
and
the
by the way,
for school smarty guys that are dumb. I'm with you.
I don't remember interrupting you.
I was trying to help
you. Okay, so here's the thing. The Packers, if you go through... who they've beaten. And I get it. People are going to be like, what do you mean, Gil? They beat the Dolphins. Yeah, but they beat the Dolphins because Tua threw the ball all over the yard. And the Packers, again, the teams that they have lost to this year, if you go through their schedule, well, let's go through the teams that they
They're not good at this point.
They've beaten the Bears, Bucks, Patriots by 3, Cowboys when they were down 14 and somehow won it, Bears, Rams, and then the Tua game last week. Here's who they lost
to. They didn't really win the Tua game. Tua won the game.
That's my point. My God. You're like my Flava Flav, but a bizarro Flava Flav.
I'm trying to help you on this.
They lost to Minnesota in the opening game 23-7. So they've already lost the Vikings once. They lost to the Giants, the Jets, the Skins, pardon me, Commanders, Buffalo, Detroit, Tennessee, Philadelphia. You get the idea. They are not a good football team that the mainstream media all weekend long, no matter what network you watch, are like, oh, Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs. What it's going to be so awesome. Shut up. What the Commanders
that?
Are going, baby.
What is that? First of all, Commanders may not be going, but Aaron Rodgers, what do they love Aaron Rodgers for?
Because he's Aaron Rodgers. Nice. It pissed me off all weekend. People are so desirous of having either the Packers or the Lions in over the taco holders, the Virginia taco holders, that... I'm a little upset about it. Anyway, I'm taking the Vikings because it's 3.5. There's no justification for that. Give me the points.
Wait, now the Commanders, can they get into the playoffs?
They just got to win.
Wait, if the referee is there and McLaurin asks if I'm on the line, and he says yes, and then he throws the flag, can they still get in?
Don't get me started.
Because that cost me a lot of money, that little ridiculousness.
Yeah.
But if you ask the ref, am I on the line? And the ref says, yeah, you're on the line. Why are you throwing a flag? What is going on there?
The bigger thing is the next play where Curtis Samuel got bear-hugged and no flag was thrown.
Well, that was also egregious, but you actually asked the guy.
But this is why I always say, like, certain teams get flag. If that's another football team, that flag comes out 10 out of 10 times. But if it's Washington, oh no. Even at home, right? Yep, nothing to see
if
here.
If I say, how many calories are in this salad dressing? Yep. And they say 35 per 2 tablespoons, and then all of a sudden they give me the 70 calorie?
All right.
That's not cool.
Before we get to the final two questions, teasers of the week. Joe Fortenbaugh, who, by the way, has been very polite and quiet while you have just been jabbering, Todd.
I had a Starbucks this morning, sorry.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, Joe.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What do you got for your teaser, sir?
So not your classic Wong teaser here, but I'll take the Niners from 10 down to 4 against the Raiders. All the points that were mentioned earlier about San Francisco's defense, they do still have something to play for. They're trying to chase down Minnesota for the 2 seed, and they do have the tiebreaker over Minnesota at the current moment. So if you end up being wrong on the Packer game or right, but the Packers win and keep it close and don't cover that spread, Niners go out and handle their business. They get the 2 seed. And that would be big for them because you don't want to go on the road for 2 of your 3 playoff games, assuming you go to Philly in the NFC Championship. You'd probably like to host one of them. So I think with Jared Stidham starting, you really don't need a whole lot of analysis as to why I see San Francisco winning by at least 5. The other half of that is going to be Pittsburgh from 2.5 up to 8.5 in a game that has a really low total. Not to say it's going to be low scoring, but here you go. Classic Steelers. Late in the season, putting it together. They're not playing the best in the business, but they are 4-1 against the spread, 4-1 straight up over their last 5 games. TJ Watt on the field makes a huge difference for the defense. Kenny Pickett continues to make progress, not mistake proof, but 8.5 points in a matchup against the Ravens team where this rivalry traditionally favors the underdog. It favors fewer points. I think the last 29 meetings I was reading, the dog has covered 26-3 against the spread in the last 29, and I'm getting 8.5. So I'll take the Steelers at 8.5 and the Niners at 4.
Dodd?
I have the Yinzers plus 8.5 and as well with Joe for all the reasons Joe just said, because, you know, the Yinzers ain't losing this ball game by more than 8.5. So I'll take the Yinzers plus the 8.5.
You have any Mike Tomlin stats you want to share?
Yeah, I believe Mike Tomlin has not had a losing season. That's correct, sir. Okay. Anyways,
first
Steelers,
time hearing.
Steelers plus 8.5. We haven't heard a lot of that. And I'm going to take a little team we might call the Teddy Bridgewaters. Teddy Bridgewaters, he doesn't have a concussion. He'll throw the ball to Mr. Waddle and Tyreek Hill, and we get the plus 9. That's for the people that have been dying to hear the Miami song, and I haven't been, you know, playing it lately. So I'm going to go with Miami plus the 9. I get a non-concussed quarterback. And you know what? The Patriots can't score. How are you going to win by 9 if you can't score the ball? Has you ever seen Mac Jones? By the way, all the Mac Jones people, oh, Mac Jones is going to be amazing in the NFL. Oh, Mac Jones, he was with... No, folks. Alabama's offensive line was amazing. Alabama's wide receivers were amazing. And that's what made Mac Jones... Mac Jones stinks. Jeff. Enough with Mac Jones.
Jeff, please.
I don't know how I can follow that. All right. Gil, is it time to annoy some math people again?
Oh, do it.
All right, good. We're taking the Eagles from 5.5 to plus a half. Through the 0 we go.
That is annoying.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. You win on the tie.
Yes, I win on the tie. Remember that. Yeah. And then I am going to follow both Toddy and Joe. We are going to take the Steelers up to 8.5. As Joe Fortenbaugh correctly said on Twitter about a week ago, can we get the Baltimore Ravens to go out of the playoffs as quickly as humanly possible? They are completely unwatchable. I don't care if Lamar is back. Even when Lamar played this year.
But they're in field goal range right now.
Oh, well, that's true. Okay. I mean, Justin Tucker might be their most electric player. That kind of shows what the team is. No disrespect to Tucker, is the best of all time, even though he's had missed 3 kicks.
Yeah,
he missed the game
I needed him to make the damn kick. Yeah, well, Hashem me big time.
You know what I should have known? If I'd known you were on that game, Todd, we would have known. But no, I've had enough of the Ravens. I don't think they're any good. I think next week Cincinnati will lay it on them, especially if Cincinnati loses on Monday night. But They can't beat anyone by a touchdown. They could barely beat the Falcons by 8 points last week.
The point about the Ravens is going, I don't know, Joe, if this was your point. It's one thing that they're a football team that, you know, take them or leave them. They manage to win more games than they don't. And so that's why they're in the position they're in. But their biggest crime is that they are so super dull.
Oh, they're very.
They're Gil. You can't watch them, man.
Yeah.
Like, there are teams like Atlanta's not good, but they've been in a lot of good games this season. Seattle's average at best, but they've been in a ton of good games this season. The Ravens, even when they're close, these are just awful games to watch. Absolutely awful to watch. Week in and week out, no matter who the quarterback is, it's just a brutal team to watch play.
It's a brutal team to watch. They have no shot at winning the Super Bowl. Everybody knows that, and yet they're just taking up space. Sorry, Baltimore Ravens.
I mean, they're already in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They might even be favored on the road in the playoff game if they play Jacksonville. I don't think they should be, but they might be if Lamar's back.
We'll see what Lamar, if he is back this weekend or not. Minnesota is one of my teaser legs. I'm contractually obligated to take that, I believe, based on my pick. And I couldn't decide to pair him with the Cowboys or the Dolphins. I don't have this in the account yet. The Titans got nothing to play for. What's more likely, the Cowboys win by 7 or the Dolphins?
Don't do that.
How many interruptions is that now? 5, 6?
I'm trying to help you.
And then the other one is the Dolphins up to, what is that, 8.5?
9.
Even with the Dolphins?
Yeah.
I am going to go with the Dolphins. I'll take the points because I don't think the Patriots can blow them out in any scenario. And Waddle and Tyreek are a hack for football.
And what about Mac Jones? Stinks. What about that?
Yeah. All right. Patriots do worry me, though. If they get ahead, they're a different football team. So there is that.
You know, Teddy Bridgewater is not that bad.
No, I know. I understand. Okay. Which brings us to the final two questions, which we've asked on every single Megapod in history. First question. Which of the big favorites is the most likely, in your opinion, to lose outright? Now, here's the thing. We don't have that many of these. But here are the candidates. Dallas, 13-point favorites tonight on the road against the Titans, who have absolutely nothing whatsoever to play for. The Detroit Lions are 6-point favorites at home against the Chicago Bears. We have to throw them in. The Chiefs are 12.5-point favorites at home against the Denver Broncos. The Giants are 6-point favorites at home against the Indianapolis Colts. And the Niners are 10-point favorites on the road against the Raiders. Oh, one more. Chargers, 6.5-point favorites at home against the Rams. Which is the most likely of those to lose outright, Joe?
I mean, I think it's probably, it might be easy to say the Giants, only because that's a lot of points, and maybe the Colts show up, but the last couple of weeks it hasn't looked very good at all. I'll circle the Chargers. They've been winning a lot of games. I know people are really excited about them. I know the Rams are a mess, but the Rams don't have a situation where they're tanking for a draft pick because they lost the draft pick to, what is it, the Lions or the Bears, whatever
Detroit.
The deal was. Yeah, so it's not going to matter to them where they finish, and they put up a hell of a fight against Denver. So it wouldn't surprise me, this Charger team, I know they're winning, and I know the record looks good, but the point differential is still negative. It doesn't surprise me when teams like the Chargers or teams like the Cowboys come out and just fall flat on their face because they weren't prepared or they were overlooking or they made too many mistakes. They're not a disciplined football team, so I would look at that. That doesn't mean I love it or that doesn't mean I'm betting it, but we do have to answer the question, so I'd say the Chargers.
I agree with Joe, but I'm not going to do that one, but I couldn't agree with him more. It's so Charger-esque.
Yeah.
This is like a Charger-esque on a platter scenario where, oh, of course, the Chargers are going to win. No, sorry, folks. That's what the Chargers do. But I'm going to go with the Bears. The Bears
the
to
Lions,
beat,
in other words.
Right,
yes.
Detroit to lose to the Bears.
This is mine, too.
Because, you know what? Once in a while, when that Fields gets out of control, he just runs for a million yards, and you can't stop. It's like two giant plays a game. And the Bears are really not that bad. And are the Lions this good? And by the way, I like the Lions when they're the dog, when everyone's like, oh, can the Lions sneak right up on somebody? I don't like those kind of teams when all of a sudden, now you're expecting something from them. Oh, you're supposed to bring something to the party? Oh, you brought us Bobka, the lesser Bobka. No. Lions.
One of these teams in a must-win situation is going to fall flat on their face.
Yeah, and do you really want the Lions as a big
nope
favorite? I'm scared to death of them.
They're my choice.
The Bears.
As well. They're my choice as well. Jeff?
I'm going with Joe on the Chargers. You know, it's kind of crazy with the guy we have seen Baker Mayfield turn back into. Now, granted, that last week had more to do with Denver than I think it had to do with the Rams, but Baker Mayfield looks like he can play again. Like, he's better than about half the guys who are starting right now this week.
Slow down.
No, well, that's we went through the quarterbacks that are starting this week, Todd. There are a lot of terrible quarterbacks.
Than people think, but that's not that crazy.
But here's the thing, though. Sean McVay, again, I don't know if this is partially because he just is playing with a guy who knows how to coach, even though McVay's had a rough year. But this is, as Joe said, as Todd said, this is the classic. Chargers just clinched a playoff berth on Monday when they really didn't even look very good against Indianapolis. They just had to not screw the game up, and they didn't because the Colts are that bad right now. Wouldn't shock me if the Rams are leading that game late in the fourth quarter, and the Chargers are in the Phillip Rivers zone with Justin Herbert. So I'll go with the Rams over the Chargers. So Chargers, most likely favorite of six or more to lose.
I'm with Todd. I'm on the Lions. Joe, final question. Although I do have one bonus one here afterwards, but final question. We live in a bizarre world. You have to bet a side in each of these games, but you get one free pass, one game you want no part of. What is that game, sir?
It's probably Giants-Colts. That's a lot of points for a Giants team that I have very little faith in. I know the Colts looked awful on Monday night. They looked awful blowing that lead, or not blowing the lead, but blowing the fourth quarter against Dallas and just getting run out of the building. But do we trust the Giants to cover this many points? Weather could be an issue. And then on top of it, everyone saw Nick Foles in that game Monday, and they're going to think he's trash and can't make any plays. That's what people should think. I mean, he looked terrible. But now that he's knocked the game off of rust under his belt, he probably comes into this situation in a little bit of a better circumstance. So with all those points there, I'm not laying it with the Giants, but it's tough to get behind the Colts given what we've seen.
Dot.
What's the question now?
Jeff.
The one that we do every week. Which game do you not want any part of?
Which game do I not want any part of?
This show just sneaks up on you.
It was a really rough week. I was driving a lot. I played basketball in Amarillo, Texas. Come on now.
Oh, boy.
I don't want any part of this. Bears-Lions, I don't want any part of it for much of the reasons that I talked about.
Jeff?
I'm taking your.
Hold on, can I jump in real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Do you guys mind?
Go ahead.
I just want to bring one thing up. I have to make this observation. Todd has said five or six times what a hard week it is, but it's only hard because he was driving a car and he was playing basketball.
That's right. It just makes sense.
Joe, have you ever driven 37 hours in 2.5 days? It's a lot of driving. Okay, and
I got back on the wagon.
Joe?
It's hard to go invade a country and win a war. It's hard to beat the stock market like Warren Buffett, right? Like, there's a lot of things that are hard to do.
How about eating 1,500 calories
Todd,
4 days in a
Todd,
row?
Could you let somebody else talk?
Joe.
God,
go ahead. I think the joke's out there. I think the joke's out there. You guys know where I'm going.
All right. Jeff?
Look, I was eating 8,000 calories a day for 55 days, and now the last 4 days I'm eating 1,500 again. It's tough to get the aircraft carrier moved in the right direction,
Joe.
Especially when you're driving 35
Todd,
hours.
Todd, shut up.
But I really do
Jeff,
like Joe.
Go.
Joe's awesome.
We just got to get him some Reese's chocolate-covered pretzels, Todd will be 6 feet under.
That Reese's, by the way, folks, if you want to continue to lose weight and don't want to be a heroin addict, do not start with the dipped Reese's pretzels. I'm telling you right now, you will thank me. It is crack cocaine, if there was such a thing, in a food substance. That's all I'll say.
All right, the game I want nothing to do with.
That's all he'll say.
The game that I want nothing to do with is your game, Gilly.
Commandos.
Which is the Commandos and the Browns, where it's Wentz and Watson, which God only knows what type of quarterback play we're going to get in this game from both of these guys. And it's two, which makes it like, well.
But how fun is it going to be to root against Gilly's Commanders?
Here's the thing.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Here's the thing, though, Todd. I can't bring myself to root for Deshaun Watson under any circumstance.
There's no massages during the game.
I have no idea. I think Washington was right to make Wentz the starter. I think Heineke's luck ran out.
I do too.
But Washington has to win two straight games with Carson Wentz playing quarterback. That is a scary proposition.
Wentz stinks. He's no good.
That's a scary proposition. That's what I'm saying.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. I'm ready for Wentz. Heineke, I love, but he has his limitations. He can't throw the ball downfield. The problem is both Wentz and Heineke are so loose with the football that all it's going to take is one blindside hit that they don't see him coming.
Miles Garrett.
Plus, the linesman can call a foul on any play, even if you're on the line.
Mine is Arizona-Atlanta.
Don't really blame me on that.
Don't want any part of that game. Okay, before we go,
bonus credit,
before we go, for Joe, this is for Joe. Because I don't feel like we've heard enough of Joe, because Todd won't shut the fuck up.
Joe, I apologize for taking too much of your airtime.
It's quite all right.
And Joe, I'm going to punch him in the face after this. Just a general overview of the playoffs for you. Like, let's just ask the normal question that we never ask, because we're all immersed in sports betting. We all do shows on this, and we never ask the basic question that normal people ask, which is, who do you think ultimately is in the Super Bowl? And what's the team beyond that that you think has a puncher's chance of getting there that most people aren't focused in on?
Is that for me or Joe?
Not you.
I mean, as a Philadelphia fan, I'd love to sit there and talk about the Eagles. And I'd love to get confident with that. And I think when you only have one bye and your road to the Super Bowl is two home games, and the first of which might not be all that daunting, it's a great scenario. But I don't think they're that good. I don't think they're as good as I've been saying this all year. You got to play somebody. They've had no measuring stick game until last week. And the focal point is on Minshew and Hurts. It shouldn't be on that. It should be on the fact that the defense got run over in that game.
Bravo.
40 points, 419 total yards. They allowed 9 of 16 third and fourth down conversions in that game. They gave up a third and 30. They got all these Pro Bowlers that didn't show up. Darius Slay, supposed to be all world, guarding nobody all season long. That game, roasted. Big penalty as well. Miles Sanders finally going to the Pro Bowl. Fumbles in the big spot. We knew Minshew was going to make some mistakes, but he played well enough for that team to find a way to win. And Quez Watkins on those two interceptions just got pushed to the ground. Like, that's as weak a wide receiver play as you'll ever see. So I can't get behind Philly, because if that defense is going to go against the Niners are going to score. And I don't know how much Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are going to do, considering they haven't played anyone all season. So the Niners are the team in the NFC for me. I don't see any of the potential dark horses being dangerous. Tampa doesn't worry me. Carolina doesn't worry me, where they can win three games in a row in the NFC. The winner of the North isn't good. I mean, Minnesota doesn't worry me for all the obvious reasons. Dallas, I want to believe, but to win three in a row to get to the Super Bowl requires Mike McCarthy to be at his absolute best, and I don't see that happening. So it's the Niners in the NFC. In the AFC, you've got the big three. Who would be the other team to take? I'm not a believer in Miami based on what I've seen the last few weeks. We talked about that four-game stretch going back in August when the schedules came out. We were previewing them, and they failed miserably. They got a quarterback who's had 10 concussions this year. I would love to step outside and say, hey, Jacksonville at 50-1, they're really playing well. But if you have to go through two of three, Cincinnati, Kansas City, and Buffalo, good luck with those games on the road. So I'd love to give you a dark horse. I just don't see it. Baltimore makes sense because they're hard to game plan for, but you know they'll find a way to come up lame on offense at some point during that run.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think if we go back 5-6 weeks, you could make a case that Cincinnati and or San Francisco is a dark horse, but you can't consider them as such anymore. And so I'm with you in terms of, I think San Francisco's Philly's kryptonite. And imagine if you were still doing radio in San Francisco, the hype of
no,
that
I don't
want to.
Don't go there. Don't go there. They're all going to be calling me. They're all going to want me to come on the air. They all know they're going to win that game. I'm going to have to eat so much shit in the Bay Area. I don't even want to hear that.
I know, man.
By the way, I agree with you guys on this Niners. Remember this one statement I believe many wise football people have said? Defense wins championships.
Yeah.
Remember about defense winning championships? All the more so in today's NFL, that Niner defense is fearsome. I want to apologize to Joe for talking too much. I had a Starbucks. Joe, I had a Starbucks today, and when I have a Starbucks, it sometimes gets a little out of control. So I apologize for that, but I agree with your Niners there. And who did Joe say for he thought that on the AFC? Who was his
pick? It's the big three. I'm
but
not
you, did you make a pick, Joe?
Right now. I did not. I would still take Buffalo. I know I think they're going to find a way to grab the one seed, and that's going to be the difference, getting the extra week to get healthy. I see why you guys are picking Cincinnati.
I'm picking the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs.
I got the Chiefs ultimately.
I think it's a pre-pandemic rerun Super Bowl. Yeah. If you remember, the last Super Bowl pre-pandemic was
it was Chiefs Niners.
Jimmy Garoppolo. I call him Garoppolo, blowing the game late before the pandemic, and then the world changed. And then they brought Reese's dipped pretzels, and then the world really changed.
Reese's dipped pretzels. I really am excited for this postseason that's coming up, because there are so many teams that there are six teams to me that can win the Super Bowl. I'll give Dallas a chance just because.
Ain't happening.
I don't think it will either.
No.
But this is going to be a really fun postseason. And that AFC playoff, and Joe, I even though I think Buffalo is the weakest of the three, I think you may be onto something there. If Buffalo gets the one seed, and instead of having to play an epic game against Kansas City again, or Cincinnati again, like last year, which, look, I know KC was up 21-3 in an AFC title game. You can't say that game against Buffalo didn't take something out of them. So getting the one seed in the AFC is a gigantic advantage this year.
Buffalo in the driver's seat for now, but that could be a different story by the end of
Monday. One last question for Joe before we go. Joe, I'm sure you're aware that Iga Swiatek is a tremendous tennis player. Who would you rather have, Iga Swiatek against the best women's player or me against Gilly in tennis?
Gil, I got to tell you, this is why I haven't been on in 2 years.
Yeah, I know. I feel every second of your pain, believe me.
Joe, and I love you. Come on, Joe, show some love, baby.
All right, for Joe Fortenbaugh.
I'll go with you, Todd.
Joe Fortenbaugh, Daily Wager. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much, and good luck with Joe and Amber on ESPN Radio.
I appreciate it. Thanks, fellas. I always enjoy conversations like this. It was an awesome time. So hopefully we can do more of it in the future. Gil, thanks for inviting me.
Appreciate it. Thanks for being there. For Todd Wishnev, for I was about to say Craig Parlay.
Wrong.
Jeff Parlay. Good luck with all your bets. Week 17 of the National Football League.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.